Good evening, and welcome to The Talking Show on Kay Chung Radio, Chinatown's only micro-broadcasting radio station. Tonight's episode of The Talking Show was previously recorded, so please sit back and enjoy the soothing sounds of The Talking Show on Kay Chung Radio.
Hi there. Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh.
And? Welcome to The Talking Show on Kay Chung Radio, Los Angeles's only and best micro-broadcasting radio station consecrated exclusively in the direction of the arts.
Recorded, as always, in a giant cave.
My name is Steve Cato, and I am one half of a dynamic team. The other half of this dynamic team is...
Nicholas Miller.
That's right, that's him, Nicholas Miller. There he was. And we are here... again with The Talking Show.
Filled with talking.
That's right. A show for talking. That's what you get, audience. You get talking.
You get almost no music. Just talking.
And tonight, we have a very, very special guest and a very regional guest. We have someone who lives just on the other side of Elysian Park from here, and she's going to be talking mostly about, or I would say more like talking through the park, not just to get to Kay Chung, obviously, that's how she got here, through the park, but also through the park to talk about other wider issues.
Yeah, some particularly frightening issues.
A lot of ground's going to get covered. I understand that some LA history, something about the nuclear industry, a lot of stuff's going to get covered. So sit back and enjoy the fine talking of visual artist Amy Howden Chapman.
What you're about to see is a long, curved concrete wall. Behind the wall, there is a bank and bushes. In front of the wall, branches are bending. The wall will be shoulder height, and on it will be the words, Charles S. Jones Memorial Grove. The words that you will see are not etched, but sunken. Each letter will be a rough space in the concrete. The words sunken into the wall will say, Charles S. Jones Memorial Grove, dedicated to honor the unique contribution to community beautification made by petroleum industry pioneer Charles S. Jones, who in 1954 was the first civic leader to arrange for the planting of trees on the streets of downtown Los Angeles. Soon, you won't be able to see the wall. What you're about to see is a curtain. Behind the curtain, you know there will be a wall, and in the wall, the words, but you will no longer be able to see those things. What you will see is a curtain billowing, and with its billowing, the palm leaf pattern on the curtain will billow. You will see the palm leaf pattern. It is beautiful. And you will see the white shapes between the palm leaf pattern. You will think you are seeing white jaws and white spurts, white claws or white leeks. But what you will be seeing is just the light behind the leaves, as light is shown when light is shown as part of a pattern on a curtain. What you will hear is parents complaining about their children drinking milk laced with radionuclides from fallout. But such complaints are hard to see. What you will see is what you see when corn is exposed to nuclear radiation. Exposed, then picked, then dried, the dried husks becoming packing material and the packing material pressed around boxes of photographic film. What you will see is faint splotches, foggy splotches. What you will see is what the corn from farms in Indiana does when corn from farms in Indiana is exposed to fallout from the world's first atmospheric nuclear bomb explosions. What you will see is the residue of the birth of the atomic age in photographic form. What you will see is a man saying, "You're destroying something of value. It's not just a collection of houses." He will say it, and then he will turn and walk away. What you will see is Mr. Wilkinson, Mr. Frank Wilkinson. He is sunken in his chair. He speaks slowly, though he knows exactly what it is he is about to say, and then he will say it. "It's the tragedy of my life, absolutely. I was responsible for uprooting, I don't know how many people, hundreds of people from their own little valley, and then having the whole thing destroyed." You will see Frank Wilkinson, Mr. Frank Wilkinson, the Los Angeles City's embattled public housing official, facing questions from the California Un-American Activities Committee. You will see the committee's characterization of the public housing projects that Mr. Frank Wilkinson was planning to build as socialist plots. You will see as Mr. Frank Wilkinson is fired from his job. You will see as he is sentenced to 1 year in jail. With your back to the wall and your back to the curtain, you will be able to see the way the road slopes up, gentle, gently, a gentle slope to the top of the slope, behind the jacarandas, behind the palm trees, behind the pines, is the place Mr. Gamboa sees in his mind's eye when he thinks of the house. From the top of the slope, you will see where Chavez Ravine isn't. I've never felt about any other house the way I felt about that house. You will see as Mr. Gamboa talks about a house that Mr. Frank Wilkinson promised he would replace with something more modern, but was never replaced at all. What you're about to see is how I am standing with my back to the curtained wall reciting this poem. Men dig up and search through much earth in order to find gold. I have looked diligently at my own mind. It is natural for man to know his own mind and to be sane, yet nature loves to hide. What you will see is the way that Marilyn Robinson is very calm but very sad when she talks about the mother country. She is damning of the mother country. Marilyn Robinson is appalled that instead of protecting its citizens, the mother country is harming them. What she will say is that the contamination of modern Britain with radioactivity is done by industry for profit. She will say that the health of those affected is an appropriation of property, since, as Adam Smith argued, and Marx after him, seconding him, as he did often, one's labour and therefore one's ability to labour is a property and a patrimony. You will see that as she states this, it is with a calm sadness. Anger? No, sadness. You will see that Marilyn Robertson is sad because she is loyal to the future. You will see her stand and you will see her say, "The silence in which Sheffield prospers is uncanny. It suggests interests are being served that are neither ideological nor national. The most plausible hypothesis is that individuals who do not feel any kind of loyalty to the future have been corrupted by the quantities of money involved. It is not possible to see her, but behind the curtain, Dawn is walking along the steps that lead down to the wall. She is wearing my mother's t-shirt. Across Dawn's chest, written in soft cotton, are the words, "Nuclear-free Aotearoa." Dawn is talking to herself. It's not really possible to hear what she is saying, but I imagine she is talking about the Star Wars. I imagine she is saying something like, "The United States needed to embark on a crash program to build an equivalent capability to destroy the Soviet missiles. Ideally, it would be a highly accurate mobile missile, but that would almost certainly be blocked by environmentalists, just as they had blocked nuclear power and almost stopped the Alaskan pipeline. The MX missile, later called the Peacekeeper, a large multi-warhead IBCM that was to be trundled around the desert states at night and hidden within various shelters in the daytime, this multi-basing strategy was eventually defeated. Though not solely by environmentalists, many Americans didn't want nuclear missiles being trucked through their towns and cities. But the innuendo was clear. Environmentalists serve Soviet interests." You can see the curtain, but you can only see it by peeking through a small hole in a piece of cloth. No, not a piece of cloth, it's a flag. You will see that the hole in the flag has jagged edges. You will see that where there is now nothing, a hole, there used to be a shape. You will see me hold up the flag and tell you that in 1990 this flag was carried into Red Square. It was May 1st, and it was thought that the thousands were there to celebrate the greatness and might of the Soviet Union. But then everybody stopped marching. They turned, thousands of people turned, and they looked up at the leaders, at President Gorbachev, sitting high on a balcony above, and then all at once the cheering stopped and the booing started, and people held up defaced flags. Where the yellow, the golden hammer and sickle should have been, there was only a space. There was nothing. What you will see is that this was not a celebration. This was a protest. You will see that although I am holding up a flag, or what used to be a flag, I have on my face a wistful expression. This expression belongs to Rachel Carson. This is the expression Rachel Carson wears on her face as she talks of the exact and inescapable parallel between radioactive fallout and pesticide poisoning. You will see the wistful expression again when Carson is insulted, called subversive, called a health nut, called anti-business, called a communist sympathizer, called a spinster, called a pacifist. You will see Dawn's hand pulling aside the curtain, and you will see her move through the gap. You will see the precise way in which Dawn turns and then sits down on that bench. You will see Dawn is wearing my mother's nuclear-free Pacific t-shirt, sitting on a bench, and that on the bench is written a single line of text, and you will see that it reads, "In memory of Charles in memory of our friend Charles S. Jones, founder and first president of the Men's Garden Club in Los Angeles. Because what you are about to see is a long curved concrete wall. Behind the wall, there is a bank and bushes. In front of the wall, branches are bending. The wall will be shoulder height, and on it will be the words, Charles S. Jones Memorial Grove. The words that you will see are not etched, but sunken. Each letter will be a rough space in the concrete. The words sunken into the wall will say, Charles S. Jones Memorial Grove. Dedicated to honor the unique contribution to community beautification made by petroleum industry pioneer Charles S. Jones, who in 1954 was the first civic leader to arrange for the planting of trees on the streets of downtown Los Angeles. Soon you won't be able to see the wall. What you're about to see is a curtain. Behind the curtain, you know there will be a wall, and in the wall the words, but you will no longer be able to see those things. What you will see is a curtain billowing, and with its billowing, the palm leaf pattern will billow. You will see the palm leaf pattern. It is beautiful. And you will see the white shapes between the palm leaf pattern. You will think you are seeing white jaws and white spurts, white claws or white leeks. But what you will be seeing is just the light behind the leaves, as light is shown when light is shown as part of a pattern on a curtain. What you will hear is parents complaining about their children drinking milk laced with radionuclides from fallout. But such complaints are hard to see. What you will see is what you see when corn is exposed to nuclear radiation. Exposed, then picked, then dried, the dry husks becoming packaging material, and the packaging material pressed around boxes of photographic film. What you will see is faint splodges, foggy splodges. What you will see is what the corn from farms in Indiana does to film when corn from Indiana farms is exposed to fallout from the world's first atmospheric nuclear bomb explosions. What you will see is the residue of the birth of the atomic age in photographic form. What you will see is a man saying, "You're destroying something of value. It's not just a collection of houses," he will say. And then he will turn and walk away. What you will see is Mr. Wilkinson, Mr. Frank Wilkinson. He is sunken in his chair. He speaks slowly as though he knows exactly what he is about to say, and then he will say it. "It's the tragedy of my life. Absolutely. I was responsible for uprooting I don't know how many people, hundreds of people from their own little valley, and then having the whole thing destroyed." You will see Frank Wilkinson, Mr. Frank Wilkinson, the Los Angeles city's embattled public housing official, facing questions from the California Un-American Activities Committee. You will see the committee characterize the public housing projects that Mr. Frank Wilkinson was planning to build as socialist plots. You will see as Mr. Frank Wilkinson is fired from his job. You will see as he is sentenced to 1 year in jail. With your back to the wall and your back to the curtain, you will be able to see the way the road slopes up. A gentle slope. At the top of the slope, behind the jacarandas, behind the palm trees, behind the pines, is the place Mr. Gamboa sees in his mind's eye when he thinks of the house. From the top of the slope, you will see where Cesar Chavez Ravine isn't. I've never felt about any other house the way I felt about that house. You will see as Mr. Gambar talks about a house that Mr. Frank Wilkinson promised he would replace with something more modern, but that was never replaced at all. What you are about to see is how I am standing with my back to the curtain wall reciting this poem. Men dig up and search through much earth in order to find gold. I have looked diligently at my own mind. It is natural for man to know his own mind and to be sane, yet nature loves to hide. What you will see is the way that Marilyn Robinson is very calm but very sad when she talks about the mother country. She is damning of the mother country. Marilyn Robinson is appalled that instead of protecting its citizens, the mother country is harming them. What she will say is that the contamination of modern Britain with radioactivity is done by industry for profit. She will say that the health of those affected is an appropriation of property, since, as Adam Smith argued, and Marx seconded him, as he did often, one's labor and therefore one's ability to labor is a property and a patrimony. You will see that she states this with a calm sadness. Anger? No, sadness. You will see that Marilyn Robinson is sad because she is loyal to the future. You will see her stand and say, the silence in which Sheffield prospers is a little uncanny. It suggests interests are being served that are neither ideological nor national. The most plausible hypothesis is that individuals who do not feel any kind of loyalty to the future have been corrupted by the quantities of money involved. It is not possible to see her, but behind the curtain, Dawn is walking along the steps that lead down to the wall. She is wearing a t-shirt that belonged to my mother. Across Dawn's chest, written in soft cotton, are the words, nuclear-free Aotearoa. Dawn is talking to herself. It is not possible to hear what she is saying, but I imagine she is talking about Star Wars. I imagine she is saying something about how the United States needed to embark on a crash program to build an equivalent capability to destroy Soviet missiles. Ideally, it would be a highly accurate mobile missile that would almost certainly be blocked by environmentalists, just as they had blocked nuclear power and almost stopped the Alaskan pipeline. The MX missile, later called Peacekeeper, a large multi-warhead IBCM that was to be trundled around the desert states at night and hidden within various shelters in the daytime. This multi-basing strategy was eventually defeated, though not solely by environmentalists. Many Americans didn't want nuclear missiles being chucked through their towns and cities. Though the innuendo was clear, environmentalists serve Soviet interests. You can see the curtain, but you can only see it if you peek through a small hole in this piece of cloth. No, not a piece of cloth. It's a flag. You will see that the hole in the flag has jagged edges. You will see that where there is now nothing, there used to be a specific shape. You will see me hold up the flag and tell you that in 1990 this flag was carried into Red Square. It was May 1st. And it was thought that the thousands were there to celebrate the greatness and might of the Soviet Union. But then everyone stopped marching. They turned, thousands of people turned, and they looked up at the leaders, at President Gorbachev and the other Kremlin leaders, sitting high on a balcony above. And then, all at once, the cheering stopped and the booing started, and people held up defaced flags. Where the yellow, the golden hammer and sickle should be, there is now only a space. There is nothing. What you will see is that this was not a celebration, this was a protest. You will see that although I am holding up a flag that was, or what used to be a flag, I have on my face a wistful expression. This expression belongs to Rachel Carson. This is the expression Rachel Carson wears on her face when she talks of the exact and inescapable parallel between radioactive fallout and pesticide poisoning. You will see this wistful expression again when Carson is insulted, called subversive, called a health nut, called anti-business, called a communist sympathizer, called a spinster, called a pacifist. What you will see is Dawn's hand pulling aside the curtain, and then you will see her move through the gap between the curtains. You will see the precise way in which Dawn turns and then sits down on that bench. What you will see is Dawn wearing my mother's nuclear-free Pacific t-shirt, sitting on a bench, and you will see that on the bench is written a single line of text, and you will see that it reads, "In memory of our friend Charles S. Jones, founder and first president of the Men's Garden Club in Los Angeles." Because what you are about to see is a long curved concrete wall. Behind the wall there is a bank and bushes. In front of the wall, branches are bending. The wall will be shoulder height, and on it will be the words, "Charles S. Jones Memorial Grove." The words that you will see are not etched, but sunken. Each letter will be a rough space in the concrete. The words sunken into the wall will say, "Charles S. Jones Memorial Grove, dedicated to honor the unique contribution to community beautification made by petroleum industry pioneer Charles S. Jones, who in 1954 was the first civic leader to arrange for the planting of trees on the streets of downtown Los Angeles." Soon you won't be able to see the wall. What you're about to see is a curtain. Behind the curtain, you know there will be a wall, and in the wall the words, but you will no longer be able to see those things. What you will see is a curtain billowing, and with its billowing, the palm leaf pattern will billow. You will see the palm leaf pattern. It is beautiful. It is. And you will see the white shapes between the palm leaf pattern. You will think you are seeing white jaws and white spurts or white claws or white leeks. But what you will be seeing is just the light behind the palm leaves, as light is shown when light is shown as part of a pattern on a curtain. What you will hear is parents complaining about their children drinking milk laced with radionuclides from fallout. But such complaints are hard to see. What you will see is what you see when corn is exposed to nuclear radiation. Exposed, then picked, then dried, the dry husks becoming packaging material, and the packaging material pressed around boxes of photographic film. What you will see is faint splodges, foggy splodges. What you will see is what the corn from farms in Indiana does to film when corn from Indianan farms is exposed to fallout from the world's first atmospheric nuclear bomb explosions. What you will see is the residue of the birth of the atomic age in photographic form. What you will see is a man saying, "You're destroying something of value. It's not just a collection of houses." He will say it and then he will turn and walk away. What you will see is Mr. Wilkinson. Mr. Frank Wilkinson, he is sunken in his chair. He speaks slowly, though he knows exactly what he is about to say, and then he will say it. "It's the tragedy of my life, absolutely. I was responsible for uprooting I don't know how many hundreds of people from their own little valley and having the whole thing destroyed." You will see Frank Wilkinson. Mr. Frank Wilkinson, the Los Angeles City's embattled public housing official, facing questions from the California Un-American Activities Committee. You will see the committee characterize the public housing project that Mr. Frank Wilkinson is planning to build as a socialist plot. You will see Mr. Frank Wilkinson is fired from his job. You will see as he is sentenced to 1 year in jail. With your back to the wall and your back to the curtain, you will be able to see the way the road slopes up. Gently, a gentle slope. At the top of the slope, behind the jacarandas, behind the palm trees, behind the pines, is the place Mr. Gamboa sees in his mind's eye when he thinks of the house. From the top of the slope, you will see where Chavez Ravine isn't. I've never felt about any other house the way I felt about that house. You will see as Mr. Gamboa talks about a house that Mr. Frank Wilkinson promised he would replace with something more modern, but was never replaced at all. What you're about to see is how I am standing with my back to the curtained wall reciting this poem. Men dig up and search through much earth in order to find gold. I have looked diligently at my own mind. It is natural for man to know his own mind and to be sane. Yet nature loves to hide. What you will see is the way that Marilyn Robinson is very calm but very sad when she talks about the mother country. She is damning of the mother country. Marilyn Robinson is appalled that instead of protecting its citizens, the mother country is harming them. What she will say is that the contamination of modern Britain with radioactivity is done by industry for profit. She will say that the health of those affected is an appropriation of property, since, as Adam Smith argued, and Marx seconded him as he often did, one's labour, and therefore one's ability to labour, is a property and a patrimony. You will see that she states this with calm sadness. Anger? No sadness. You will see that Marilyn Robinson is sad because she is loyal to the future. You will see her stand, and you will see her say, "The silence in which Sheffield prospers is a little uncanny. It suggests interests are being served that are neither ideological nor national. The most plausible hypothesis is that individuals who do not feel any kind of loyalty to the future have been corrupted by the quantities of money involved." It is not possible to see her, but behind the curtain, Dawn is walking along the steps that lead down to the wall. She is wearing my mother's t-shirt. Across Dawn's chest, written in soft cotton, are the words, "Nuclear-free Aotearoa." Dawn is talking to herself. It is not really possible to hear what she is saying, But I imagine she is talking about the Star Wars. I imagine she is saying something like this. Something about the United States needing to embark on a crash program to build an equivalent capacity to that of the Soviets, to destroy the Soviet missiles. Ideally, it would be a highly accurate mobile missile, but that would almost certainly be blocked by environmentalists, just as they had blocked nuclear power and almost stopped the Alaskan pipeline. The MX missile, later called Peacekeeper, a large multi-warhead IBCM that was to be trundled around the desert states at night and hidden within various shelters in the daytime. This multi-basing strategy was eventually defeated, though not solely by environmentalists. Many Americans didn't want nuclear missiles being trucked through their towns and cities, though the innuendo was clear. Environmentalists serve Soviet interests. You can see the curtain, but you can only see it by peeking through a small hole in a piece of cloth that is being held up in front of the curtain. No, not a piece of cloth, a flag. You will see that the hole in the flag has jagged edges. You will see that there is now nothing where there used to be a shape. You will see me hold up the flag and tell you that in 1990 this flag was carried into Red Square. It was May 1st and it was thought that the thousands were there to celebrate the greatness and might of the Soviet Union. But then everybody stopped marching. They turned, thousands of people turned, and they looked up at their leaders, at President Gorbachev and the other Kremlin leaders sitting high on a balcony above. And then all at once the cheering stopped and the booing started and people held up defaced flags. Where the yellow, the gold hammer and sickle should be, there is now only a space. There is nothing. What you will see is that this was not a celebration. This was a protest. You will see that although I am holding up a flag with the hammer and sickle removed, cut out, a flag or a piece of cloth, I have, as I hold up the flag, on my face a wistful expression. This expression belongs to Rachel Carson. This is the expression Rachel Carson wears on her face when she talks of the exact and inescapable parallel between radioactive fallout and pesticide poisoning. You will see this wistful expression again when Rachel Carson is insulted, called subversive, called a health nut, called anti-business, called a communist sympathizer, called a spinster, called a pacifist. What you will see is Dawn's hand pulling aside the curtain, and then you will see her move through the gap. You will see the precise way in which Dawn turns and then sits down on that bench. You will see Dawn is wearing my mother's nuclear-free Pacific t-shirt, sitting on a bench, and that on the bench is written a single line of text. And you will see that it reads, "In memory of our friend Charles S. Jones, founder and first president of the Men's Garden Club of Los Angeles."
Wow.
Kaboom.
What do you make of that, Nicholas?
I don't want to raise kids in that world.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in reference to our last series of shows presenting sort of the dawn of the atomic age, and now standing back here and looking at the situation as it's developed, I think the picture is quite different.
Yeah. Even more pessimistic, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, I also really enjoyed the way the repetition worked. How did you feel about that?
Oh, the talking was excellent. The form, the structure, the voice.
Yeah. Yeah, Amy has been a friend for a few years. And full disclosure, we've been in a few shows together. She...
Oh, dear.
Did this...
oh, dear. How nepotistic, Steve.
Art show that is also a publication called The Distance Plan.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
And I'm in that publication. And that publication is available wherever finer art books are sold.
For example, either of the two Ooga Booga locations in Los Angeles, the big one and the small one.
There was a nice book launch for the current edition of The Distance Plan at LACA recently. Any of you out there following Eric Kim, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say LACA, Los Angeles Contemporary Archive.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's just great to have Amy on the show finally. It's been a dream of mine to have her on the show since we started. I've been a great fan of her performance work. Really enjoyed the Museum of Climate Change tour she also did in Elysian Park back then, way back when in 2010, was it maybe? 2011?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, somehow in the last year or so, in the recent past, I got my hands on an Amy Howden Chapman poster, which was pretty cool. It had just some text describing the Clintons going to stay at Steve Jobs' summer house, and it was right after the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and there was something about the Secret Service going ahead of them and removing a particular painting that Steve Jobs owned that had a dress, some kind of dress on it, you know, because I guess the Clintons at that time were very sensitive to dresses, but I thought it was a great piece. It makes me laugh every time I see it.
Anyway, a real, real pleasure to have Amy on the show. Hope that we can have her back sometime soon.
Yeah, maybe another grant will come through.
That's right. See you all later. Take care. Good night.
Auf Wiedersehen.